Let's go on a spree through TV land.
Our era, the era of television.
Yes, sir, it's got everything, this TV.
Carolyn, have you ever had Kerrygold butter?
Have I had Kerrygold butter? Obviously, Liz.
See, I didn't know this was a thing.
You didn't know Kerrygold butter was a thing?
Like Irish grass-fed
it's
butter?
Like the it's Irish like it's butter. Like cows that are fed like beautiful corn brisket. Well,
do you know the thing of people putting that butter in their coffee? Have you heard
of
this thing?
Yes, I have heard of that. I don't totally understand what that is. Is it specifically Kerrygold? Is it specifically the delicious, churned, exquisite Irish butter?
I think
so. The finest cows in all the land. Straight from our butter to your coffee.
They now call it Kerrygold coffee. It's just a term.
What would people potentially... Here's the thing about, like, Irish culture. It's like, no one wants shit from Irish culture. Like, they do want certain things like the brisket and the bread and, our butter and our sweaters and our sheep. Sure. But, like, no one wants to inherit any traits of an Irish person. Like, there's nothing,
whoa,
like, what
whoa,
is it?
Whoa.
Like, the...
Well, you're Irish, too, so you're offending yourself, but...
Of course. What, like, the rough, ruddy skin of an Irishman if you have tablespoons of Kerrygold in your coffee every morning?
I think Americans were just like, coffee has so few calories, what can we do? Yeah.
How do we make this more American?
God, have you ever been to a Dunkin' Donuts? It's crazy over there.
What if I asked for butter in my Dunkin' Donuts coffee?
They'd be like, ma'am, there's the door. Please leave.
They'd be like, do you want 8 free munchkins? Because we're always giving them out. But no butter.
Always ask for 3 munchkins.
I always get someone who like slyly asks me, as if it's never been offered to me before. Like it's some sort of special under the table deal. They're like, a couple of munchkins? I'm like, yes, please.
Don't mind if I do.
Pro tip, I'll always be taking them.
Who walks in is like, no, thank you. I don't want that munchkin.
I feel like growing up, everyone's Dunkin' Donuts, like after midnight, had like a secret code word that you had to say.
What was your code word?
I feel like whenever we went
stale.
To
the code word was stale.
I'll have all your stale donuts.
They were like, wink, double wink.
Well, all I know is every time you asked for a sour cream donut at the Dee Dee's, you know, near us growing up, you got like literally a boodle of donuts.
A boodle for the lady. Well, everyone, welcome once again to Episode 0 right here on Radio Free Brooklyn. You can find us on RadioFreeBrooklyn.com, iTunes, or Audioboom. And if you haven't joined us before, the premise of our show, although you might have not discerned it yet from our conversations about butter.
It's about donuts.
It's all about donuts. I wish. Let's change the show.
You know
Let's
what? Change Quick it. Change.
Today's topic, French curlers. But the real premise of our show is that we pitch hypothetical television shows and we riff on them. We talk about them. We come up with lots of wacky ideas. And today we have a very special guest host. Carolyn, would you like to introduce our special guest host today?
Absolutely. This is one of my near and dear friends, Josh, and he agreed to be a part of it. And he's always been our biggest fan and our biggest supporter when we've done living room shows. And
bathroom shows.
Off Broadway bathroom shows. He's always been in attendance. And so I'm happy and so grateful for him to be here.
Always been in attendance, never been part of the crowd. So today I feel like I'm transitioning to a certain extent.
You're crossing over.
Is that your pitch for a show, crossing over?
We're anamorphing you.
You're going through the stages. You might not realize it yet. But it'll hit you.
You're in mitosis right now.
So I wanted to mention that I will be the official Episode 0 resident scientist if anyone needs consultation.
We do a lot of science fact checking. Okay. So thank God.
Actually, you know what's funny, Josh? When I knew you were coming on, I knew that you were a man of science. I'll say nothing more about your career and let the audience make up what they will. But you're a man of science, of numbers and space oddities. And I was thinking to myself, you know, who's the next Bill Nye, you know, for our world? And I thought that you might be a good candidate or have some thoughts on, you know, science-related TV. And not boring science TV, like fun science TV, like Bill Nye.
So first of all, it is my dream to be Bill Nye. Like, whenever that happens, if anyone has his number, just, like, shoot it to, I don't know, Radio Free Brooklyn and connect us. But that's my official dream. And you've already hit on my pitch a bit for a TV show. I think it needs to incorporate science. So if you want me to mention my, like, early idea and you guys can riff on it with me, I'll throw it out there.
I would like nothing.
Lay it on us.
Okay.
Throw it out there like a comet across the sky.
So I hope I don't alienate listeners, like, the moment I speak. But
he instantly polarized the audience.
They lost all their listeners.
But a working title for this show is something along the lines of, like, The Southern Scientist, right?
Okay.
Where we go into the Deep South and the Bible Belt, and, like, Neil deGrasse Tyson and Bill Nye ask questions. Each episode, I think, has to have, like, a certain theme. Like, episode one is obviously, or episode zero maybe, is obviously, like, evolution.
Mm-hmm.
And you just go to, like...
You start with the big rocks.
Yeah,
that's
big rocks. And we can move towards smaller intricacies,
more idiosyncrasies right. of the subculture of science in the South.
But I think it looks somewhat like a mix between, like, the Daily Show in their satire view and Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? Like, I think it's, like, a melding of those two entities.
Mm. Wow, this sounds amazing. Can there be, like, some sort of a crocodile character? Either, like, a puppet or a cartoon or some sort of thing that, like, interjects, like, or does transitions or something. Like, I want some kitschy Southern thing, right?
I would love that. I don't have the exact thing. Like, I wonder if it's related to the state that you're in. Like, if when you're in Texas, it's like an armadillo, like, rolls on a screen, like, to transition, you know, like, sideswipe the screen.
Yeah, exactly. He gives you little facts, like, scientific facts.
Yes. Yeah. No, I like that.
Kind of like pop-up video, but it's like pop-up armadillo.
It's, well, what happens is every time someone, like, from that state says something, like, in a very, like, confident way, like, some fact about science, it, like, pops in, it's like, actually, the Earth isn't 2,000 years old.
It's the fact-checking armadillo.
Lizzie, give me your best, like, climate change armadillo.
Okay. Ha! I'm staying the climate change armadillo!
Armadillo! Armadillo!
And I'm here to share with you some facts about climate change. First of all, it's real as hell. So y'all better be shivering your timbers. That's my, I don't know.
Is shivering your timbers like a thing that Southerners say?
Well, what I think I like about, what did you name him?
Stan the climate change.
Stan. What I think I like about Stan is that, I think Stan is that bridge. So, you know, he walks the walk and he talks the talk of right. kind of the culture, maybe, that we're, like, you know, interviewing.
He's really a cultural liaison.
He's a cultural liaison. But what he does is he drops some damn knowledge.
Yeah. I would also love for there to be, like, guest stars every once in a while, like, popular Southern folks. Like, a Paula Deen shows up in, like, episode 3, I think.
Oh, great. And she puts half a stick of butter in her coffee, and then she just starts talking about science.
She's actually just stirring her coffee with a butter stick.
Only that Irish butter, though.
Yes. A full stick of Kerrygold. In a big mug of black coffee. Yeah. Yeah.
She eventually, like, says something racist, but is, like, scientifically accurate.
But she's dropping, like, science okay. bombs.
For the purposes of the show, that's fine.
So I also like the idea of, like, bringing in, like, actual, like, science big heads. Like, but then maybe the host is not having to do with science at all. This is kind of my favorite part of pitching shows, is, like, who gets to host this?
Right.
So I have an idea. I want to hear from you guys, but I have, like, a horrible character in the back of my head that could host this.
Belay on, Josh.
Oh, I thought you guys were going to go.
No.
Okay.
No.
I'm thinking for some reason, because he's just, like, that guy. Joe Rogan is, like, going through the South. Do you know, Carolyn, you're giving me a blank look.
No,
so I don't know who he is. You're gonna, and we don't look anything up on the show. It's part of our integrity.
It's part of our integrity is that we can't look anything up, okay. So you'll have to describe him in detail.
I will Wikipedia from my brain for you. Fear Factor, like 2003.
Oh.
Host?
Yes.
Still don't know.
Still don't know.
Lizzie is hit or miss, really. She either very much knows something or has never touched it.
But he's like a lax bro from high school that is potentially like bigoted.
Potentially. Never confirmed.
It's inferred. Is he Southern?
It's implicit.
Is he Southern? Is he from the South?
No, I think that's why I think he would be like an odd character in there. I don't know where he's from.
Yeah, he's just really intense. He speaks at a volume and intensity that it's kind of non-regional.
I think legitimately his role now in life is like hosting cage fights. I think that's a true fact.
He does like MMA fights, but for cats or something. Yeah.
So he'll probably be looking for a transitional career soon anyway.
Yeah, I imagine.
I think science has always been not a part of his wheelhouse, but always something that he's been interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Just based on Fear Factor.
You sound like you're Joe Rogan in like an informational interview. You're like, it's something I've been interested in, but...
You know, I've been tiptoeing around it for a while now, making people eat bugs, but...
I was going to say, like, ever since he, like, threw scorpions at people, he was like, I wonder what the science is behind their venom.
But, you know, botany is really interesting.
I wish I could dissect one of these and really figure it out from the inside out.
You know, I think that's great because that's one of those things where, like, when you say that name, not everyone knows instantly, but if you saw him, like, Lizzie, if you saw him, you'd be like, oh, yeah, I remember him terrifying me on commercials.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah. I'd be like, oh, God, that guy?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And it should, and the reaction of this host should be, oh, yeah, that guy?
Yeah. Like, I think the whole show is kind of like, ugh. Well, I'll turn it on. All right. I'll watch it.
And it also writes itself.
Yeah.
Totally. It's a good thing we have those transitional animals, because, like, otherwise, you know, we would lose a lot of folks. We'd
lose a lot of viewership.
Yeah, we got to keep it light, but drop those facts, and Joe Rogan will, he'll tie it all together.
Yeah, I mean, all I'm requesting from my first visit to episode zero is contact with Joe Rogan, contact with Bill Nye. I think you guys have the connections.
I'm Peter the Parakeet, and the gays do not control the weather.
Is Peter from Florida?
Yes.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Peter, and I'm from Orlando. Okay, so I had an idea for a show, and it's not really a show, so, well, let me take two steps back.
Well, then get the hell off the stage.
Let me take one step back and take two steps forward. So, we had recently, at my place of work, we had an evacuation of the building, and even though we do many, many practices and drills, I broke, like, every protocol. Like,
oh my God.
I was not going by the book. I even forgot the emergency book. I was, like, telling my friends, like, about how, you know, oh, yeah, we have, like, a very specific, you know, protocol and drill that we follow when there is kind of, like, this emergency situation. I followed it, you know, to the point where I got us to where we needed to be, but... you know, I didn't go through all the steps. And my friends, so I think working in a school makes it so that I don't understand how any other kind of workplace deals with real life things.
With emergencies?
Yeah, like I don't know how they deal with anything. Like, I only, you know, because we are told, like, very specifically, like, this is how you have to deal with things. And this idea of, like, being in a different kind of place of work and you have, like, choices. And so they were, like, telling me about, they were like, oh, yeah, like, do you ever get, like, training videos on, like, active shooters? And I was like, first of all, no, that would be the worst video in the world. But I guess, like, office buildings are they need to have these videos because they have choices. Like, they don't have a protocol that everyone needs to follow. And they were like, oh, yeah, you haven't seen these where it's either run, hide, or fight? And I was like, What?
What is option C?
I was like, what? And they were like, oh, yeah, yeah. Like, we have training.
Option C.
They were like, yeah, we have training videos where they go through, you know, your options. Like, if there's an active shooter, and they tell you, you know, what you should do if you want to run, what you should do if you want to hide, and what you do if you want to fight.
So, first of all, I
option
think-
D, none of the above, apparate.
Flu powder!
I do
get in that chimney real fast. Get the hell out of there.
I was going to say, I think the title of the show needs to be, like, option C. Like, two normal things and, like, or this crazy other option.
Other thing. Well, so them telling me about this gave me this idea because I didn't even really process this idea that, like, people watch training videos at their places of work. And I was like, first of all, this idea of, like, making a series of training videos is... like very, very attractive to me. And I would want to make a training video series that goes through like the run, hide, fight protocol, but in very specific situations that like may or may not ever happen anywhere. And so like, I was like, I would want to have, yeah, if there's an active shooter, but that's, you know, a more likely scenario. What are some unlikely scenarios, but not impossible? And so one that I was thinking of is, like, if the zoo has a security breach and there's currently a silverback gorilla rampaging through accounting, what does run, hide, fight look like in this scenario? And in my head, it's like, if you plan to run, make sure that you can get from 0 to 35 miles per hour in under 15 seconds. If you choose to...
You might want to hire a backup cheetah.
Yeah. You might want to have an office cheetah in the event that there is a silverback gorilla.
I want someone to be, like, microwaving, like, a shitty lunch. And, like, this gorilla is just approaches.
Well, that brings up another amazing part of these training videos is where you have to show them a, like, a reenactment scenario of all of their suggestions.
Where, like, dramatization is flashing at the
yeah,
bottom.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's, like, a man in a silverback gorilla suit. Like, picking up mugs and smashing them on the ground.
Yeah, I don't think we'll be able to afford, like, Jumanji quality CGI.
No.
No one will ever be able to stack up to Jumanji.
No, it's like, but I do think, yeah, that we can maybe get a hologram of, like, Robin Williams talking us through this.
In his, like, safari hat. Yeah. Oh, R.I.P.
So it's like run, hide. Hide is like make sure that you have a sufficient amount of soil to cover on your naked body and stuff yourself into a cabinet to try to camouflage and disguise your scent.
So like, why is there soil in this office building?
But like, that's what I'm saying. Like, they're like, if you want to be as prepared as possible for a silverback gorilla.
Yeah, you're going to put a potted plant on your desk and you're going to be ready.
And you'll have a cheetah somewhere. Because then the fight aspect, I think that they should just say, like, if you choose to fight, you should be a silverback gorilla.
I think this is a misconception, but I assume that, like, a zoo has, like, a room full of tranquilizer guns. So I think that's, like, also an option is, like, go to the arsenal, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think that's if it's, like, do you want to fight, like, a coward, you know?
You know what would be, you know, a bit more scary than having, like, you know, open gun laws? Is having just, like, tranquilizers in every office. Like, elephant tranquilizers. Because people know that, like, it wouldn't kill the person. So, but they'd be like, oh, I really don't want to talk to Joe in accounting today. I'm just going to tranquilize.
All of America would just be, like, passed out. Siesta.
Because I think that thought of, like, I really am annoyed with this person right now. Or I really don't want to talk to them. Or, like, I think they're a mild threat. Like, you would think, like... maybe for 0.2 seconds before you pulled that trigger.
Right, but then you just trank them. That's no big deal.
Trank them.
Trank them. They got tranked.
That's now in my vocabulary. Trank them.
He tranked them.
So I, like, in detail thought through, like, this silverback gorilla scenario. But then I was like, what else would be a part of this training video series? Like, what are other situations that, like, might want to have a very niche... training video for an office.
So it's not an office, but the first one that popped into my head the minute you started describing this mm-hmm. is like a fire starts in a mall and like all the like the cages come down in front of each store and you're like stuck in a Spencer's gift.
You have to use
what's in front of you to escape the Spencers and stop the fire simultaneously.
Run, hide, fight, Spencer's gift style.
Exactly. Like someone is using sex toys somewhere in this scenario.
They're like splitting open those lava lamps. Another one I thought is like a mime has forced entry and is acting out a public massacre and is creating more emotional havoc than physical havoc. And so like what does like run, hide, fight really look like in that scenario?
Well, you gotta trank the mime. That's easy.
Yeah.
Go to the arsenal.
I forgot we all have tranks now.
We live in a trank culture. You know, you can just trank them.
Do you think anyone in that scenario is just like, Jesus, like, stews back? Like,
well, yeah, I'm assuming that the mime, like, is just a disgruntled worker that quit his job and is coming
back. That quit his job and went to mime school.
Exactly.
And, like, traveled off to Paris, old Paris, and came back 6 months later.
He's a new man, and he's on a mission.
Your actions can make a difference for your safety and survival. Be aware and be prepared. And if you find yourself facing an active shooter, there are three key things you need to remember to survive. Run, hide, fight.
Much for listening to episode zero right here on Radio Free Brooklyn. It's very exciting. We've had a lot of great episodes with a lot of great guest hosts, like our guest host today, Josh.
Hoody-hoo. Josh Johnson. Josh.
It's exciting because next week is actually our 10th episode, and that's like a huge deal.
That's like an anniversary for some people.
Right. I will still be science fact checking it.
So we need to come up with ideas for like how we can really ball out. Josh, maybe you can help us. I mean, like, I'm thinking Chris Stahl.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. There's gotta be like a listener competition going on.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Send them bottles.
That's a good idea.
Popping bottles.
We should do a weird trivia things that people have to email in about, but they can't look it up on the internet, and we'll be able to tell if they did.
I literally thought, like crowdsource an idea for episode 10.
Oh.
But then I was going to say send it to your P.O. box, and you said email, and I was like, Jesus, who uses a P.O. box?
We should make a P.O. box for this 10th episode.
Everyone's like, you should make a Twitter handle. No, we're going to make a P.O. box.
Yeah, is that actually the same thing as a P.O. box? That where you need a money order and to send it in? Is that the same thing?
It's a private P.O. box in a bodega in Bushwick. You'll figure it out.
Just talk to Stan. He works behind the produce counter.
Hi, I'm Stan. Do you need a forever stamp to send your idea to episode zero?
A forever stamp.
Or do you prefer the Liberty Bell?
The choice is yours.
I want to like really set the mood though, especially with this being long distance. I want to make sure that like we have comparable, you know, like fanciness. So I feel like, are you going to be wearing a fur coat?
I can be.
A faux fur coat.
I mean, I live near a lot of thrift stores.
Yeah, I'm hoping. I mean, already right now, my cheeks are, like, Crayola red, but, sitting in this tiny room with red wine, but I feel like in order to create the Macklemore lavishness, I require a fur coat.
Uh-huh. Listen, this week I was eating Parmesan on the air, but next week I could be eating, you know, 20-year-aged, you know, Camembert.
Yep.
Who effing knows?
Who effing knows? We could really.
I'm gonna turn in my Tillamook for.
And I'm gonna get the Kerrygold special edition large bucket.
That's right.
I'm gonna get that 10-gallon bucket of Kerrygold.
Yeah, and we're gonna crowdsource an idea. So join us next week for episode 10 of episode 0.
It's time for a cheese break. Cheese, camembert,
parmesan,
brie, triple creme,
taleggio,
piave,
Dubliner. I know that's a brand.
Blue.
And blue.
And blue. We're going to take a cheese break, y'all. I'm Stan the Armadillo, and my favorite cheese is crumbly blue. And I'll be right back with some more scientific facts.
And I'm Pete the Parrot.